Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. Have you ever wondered if the movements you're performing in the gym or for your workouts are even helpful or useful? If that's you, then we're going back to the basics with Rocky Snyder, who helped break down the pillars of human movement that you should be incorporating in your workouts. Rocky is known as a biomechanic and is a nationally recognized expert in human movement with over 30 years of professional experience and knowledge. But before we begin, please make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And let's go ahead and get started. So thanks, Rafi, for hopping on my show. I really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Paul, I'm great. I really appreciate you having me on. So I'm looking forward to a really fun conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I was really intrigued when you mentioned pillars of human movement. Because in my mind, I think those are just foundations, right? So let's start there. What are pillars of human movement? What does that mean to people when you say pillars of human movement?
Well, there's only so many ways that the human body can move, but within combination, it becomes almost endless. But if we could break it down to fundamentally, we can create force away from the body with our upper body, such as pressing actions, and then we can draw force toward us with our arms. So we have pulling. So there's pressing and pulling. And then just simply coming up from a chair into a standing position, the level of our head will rise up. So we can move up and down what we might call level changes. And in the gym setting, we're talking squats and deadlifts, lunges and step ups, some basic forms of changing the level of your head. Right. We also have rotation. Most of the muscles in our body attach in a somewhat diagonal fashion. So when they shorten or lengthen, they cause a lot of turning. And that's how we actually run, is through a lot of rotation.
Right.
And so we've got pressing and pulling, level changes, rotation. And then the last one being locomotion, meaning can we take this body? We're not trees rooted into the ground, but we're meant to be going across the planet. So how do we move? And there's various ways in which we do that. But if we can just break it down into some basics like that, then you can generate your own workout routine more or less just by understanding these basics.
Right. And I think you brought up some really good points. So those pillars, they're things that we do normally, right? So you mentioned just getting up out of a chair. Well, that's something that everybody does. But when you apply it into a gym setting, right, it turns into something completely different. But it's the same fundamental movement, right?
Exactly that. And so people will get lost often when they go into the gym and, right. and not really understand what it is we need to do to improve our ability to move. And so if we can kind of stick to those pillars, those fundamental, the firmaments of human motion, then we don't have to go chasing one muscle after another and breaking up the body into different segments or so on. Just do a little pushing, do a little pulling, move your body up and down, move through space and do a little turning or rotating. And you've pretty much got the whole thing down pat.
Yeah, you brought up another great point of overcomplicating fitness, which is something that people do all the time. And I've been guilty of that myself, overcomplicating things. But when it comes down to workouts, a popular workout is a push-pull legs workout, right? We just push, pull, and legs, which is something that you mentioned of just those fundamental pillars. But let's talk through specific examples of how people can apply those pillars to actually building a workout program. So if someone's brand new, how would they start incorporating those pillars of human movement into actually creating a workout program for themselves?
Well, if they're in a gym setting where they have all the equipment at their disposal, they can be using dumbbells or cables to be standing or laying on a bench and driving weight or tension away from their body as in a pressing action. So there's a whole bunch of variations of that, whether it be the powerlifting world of bench press, or I commonly find people on their feet moving throughout the day. So I like to encourage them to be able to press while they're standing in different positions because that creates more integrated force production, meaning that the feet have a role to play when the hands press out. And it's a much more practical kind of way of training for people to improve everyday life activities.
Yeah.
So when it comes to pulling, you know, we can use body weight if we're not going to a gym. Simply doing push-ups and pull-ups are a prime example of pressing and pulling. Doing some type of squats or lunges, stepping up and down on a box, those three are all forms of level change. And whether we're down in a plank position, turning our hips or taking one arm and reaching underneath the body or toward the sky, we're going to incorporate some rotation. But also we could do that standing, just like I mentioned earlier. We could be on both feet and take a cable and come across the body almost right. in a tennis swing or baseball kind of action. Yeah. So we're incorporating rotation. This is very simple. You don't have to, I mean, by no stretch am I a rocket scientist. I am a gym rat. So yeah. I don't think too deep. So just keep it simple. Can I push? Can I pull? Can I move up and down? Can I turn? And then can I do something across the room?
And that does sound really simple when you break it down like that. Just push, pull. Can you push something across the room? Can you just get up and sit down multiple times? It sounds very, very simple. But as you know, I'm sure you've had clients who it can get complicated. So how do you help people kind of understand that it doesn't have to be complicated? Where do you start with that?
Well, I mean, explaining a little bit about just the basics of how they move can help. But then, and not to complicate matters, but I could explain that there are many ways to push away from the body. We can be doing it straight ahead in front of us at chest level, or we could press overhead. Do we want to use both arms at the same time, or do we want to just use one arm? Perhaps we want to use both arms, but in an alternating fashion. Right. And if we think about how we truly move, the most fundamental aspect of movement is walking. Like that's what we develop into our walking humans. So one arm's going to swing forward while the other arm swings back. Can we mimic some kind of action within the gym to just encourage that and reinforce that behavior? Mm-hmm. So I just keep it for people that are neophytes that are just beginning to explore movement. Then let's just see how the body feels. Let's make it happy. Let's try and make it sing rather than scream. I don't want them feeling like, oh, he's just trashed me and I got to go lay down. My training sessions, they're more like, if we stimulate the body in the proper way, it's going to encourage movement after the training is over, not a lack of movement. Like I just need to go and bend over a bush and let my lunch out. That's not the way we do it.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And I think that when you understand the basics, then you can just kind of stack those basics on top of each other and go into more advanced techniques or workouts. We talked about some of the pillars of human movement, and I think a lot of people will understand or know of push, pull. But you mentioned some other ones, so rotational. So let's talk about that, because that's something that maybe a lot of people don't do enough of or even any of. So when it comes to rotation, why is that a pillar of human movement, and why is that so important that we should incorporate in our workouts?
Well, we can just take it back to a walking or gait mechanics. When one leg swings forward, the other one's going back, which creates rotation in the hips and the pelvis. But simultaneously, the arms are swinging in the opposite direction, which encourages the rib cage to rotate opposite to the hips, which means that the spine is going to experience rotation all the way up its column. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is necessary. If we become more locked up in our body, restricted in the movement, then we're going to have to make it up in some fashion or other, which means we're going to compensate. And the average American takes somewhere around 5,000 steps a day. We try and get our little counter to get up to 10,000 steps. And if you do that, that's great. But just that, I mean, that's 10,000 repetitions of a movement that's compromised, which is going to be creating repetitive stress. And not that it creates a syndrome, but we're going to start seeing it manifest in so many different ways, whether it's low back pain, rotator cuff issues, runner's knee, plantar fasciitis. There's just a number of things that start to appear in terms of problems, golfers' elbows or tennis elbows. And it's not because we hit those areas. It's just because they're compensating and getting inflamed, moving too much or too little.
Right.
So rotation is a key element in just general movement. So what is it like to rotate your rib cage? Can I grab a resistance band and bring my arms across to the opposite side to encourage that kind of rotation? But my hips should rotate too. So can I maybe find a movement where, such as a lunge, where I'm going to be stepping back, but across and behind me to the opposite side?
Right.
So my left leg steps back to the right, my right steps back to the left. Can I create rotation in my hips? But I also have rotation in just about almost every joint, not quite, but close to it. My ankles need to rotate, my shoulders need to rotate. So can I incorporate some movements that give me a little rotational component to remind the joints that how to move properly, which the surrounding tissue of muscles, tendons, and ligaments are going to have to respond in kind to that joint motion.
Yeah. And I think it's really easy. I know for me and probably for other people out there listening to get focused on one single plane of motion with their movement, right? Just that frontal plane where there's no side to side movement or twisting. It's just, you know, you kind of like, for example, you're doing like a leg press, right? It's just a single plane of movement. You're not really doing any rotational. But like you said about how we trying to incorporate that into your day-to-day life or even into your workouts, maybe do some rotational. But so what are the other pillars that you mentioned other than the pulling, pushing, and the rotational?
We have level changes. So where we go up and down. And we will see that in the gym in the form of variations of squats.
Right.
We also have Olympic style lifting. So snatches and cleans and those type of derivation lifts after that. We've got step-ups, lunges, and deadlifts. So if we can incorporate some of course, those are very leg-dominant movements.
Right.
But they're going to help with core strength development, balance and coordination. And you're right, Paul. There is this very biased approach to conventional strength training, which is sagittal plane in nature. Either we're flexing or extending. We could primarily do almost every gym exercise in the confines of a door frame, within a doorway, right?
Exactly.
So breaking out of that and going laterally along the frontal plane or rotationally along the transverse plane gives the body a lot more excitement, a lot more opportunity to move. And we disrupt patterns because even though we're going to a gym and we're getting stronger, we're going to select the exercises that we are successful with.
Yes.
Typically, you're going to, and there's going to be certain lifts that you just don't want to let go of because it feels good and you're really good at it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what you need.
Right.
In fact, what we try and do is find what's missing, not only in how a person moves, but what's missing in their program. Are they doing any type of side-to-side motion along the frontal plane or lateral action? Are they how much rotation are they doing? Are they doing single arm? And is there a difference between the left side versus right side? Can we create balance? Can we disrupt old patterns and try to create new, more efficient means of moving?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm guilty of that as well, where I'll think, oh, I should do that exercise, but I really don't like it, or I'm just, I don't know, it's just really hard, really challenging, but then I'll force myself to do it because I know reason why I'm avoiding it is because I'm not comfortable, right? So I think that's, you know, human nature. But if someone said, hey, Rocky, you know, I have my workout program, I want you to take a look at it. What do you think? Am I missing some sort of rotational exercise, or do I need more pushing or pulling? How would you kind of coach someone through their analyzing their workout program for those listeners out there?
Well, for me, professionally, I want to know where their body is when they're standing.
Okay.
Like, how do they support their body in terms of their resting posture? Mm-hmm. Are they very symmetrical? Are there a lot of asymmetries? Do they have a tendency to bear their weight this way or that way? Because that tells me a lot about the position of their joints, the length the length relationship in their muscles. And then I actually utilize their posture to help create the movements in their program. Mm-hmm. Now, if I don't see their posture, I can just, you know, basically look at their program, and I want to see some. I want to see some unilateral and bilateral movements. Meaning, are you doing a step up, which is one leg at a time, unilateral, and are you doing, say, a hex bar or trap bar deadlift, where your feet are parallel, being bilateral? I would like to see a little bit of both, and the same thing for your upper body. If you're doing bench press, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you doing any single arm cable actions?
Right.
Are you doing some kind of opposite actions, maybe alternating arms, so that we feed into more core strength development.
Yeah.
Because being along the sagittal plane and being bilateral, there isn't a lot of movement, as you mentioned earlier, there isn't a lot of lateral movement or rotation. So the body just goes on lockdown and begins to learn how to brace in order to lift. Mm-hmm. And the more we do that, the more we're going to learn how to brace, which means we're going to just put our bodies in a place where it doesn't want to move because we have to lift something. But I would really like to see somebody be as conditioned as, say, an NBA player who moves in three-dimensional space and is one of the most conditioned athletes on the planet.
Right.
And they don't get that way from working out inside a door.
Yeah. If you look at any sort of professional athlete, especially NBA players or some NFL positions, they do a wide variety of workouts. You probably, a lot of people would be surprised at some of the workouts that they do because they can't, you know, they're not just lifting heavy, something heavy and putting it back down. They're moving in all different sorts of planes of motion. But
truly,
I think a lot of people are guilty of this as well, of focusing on the unilateral movement. So bench is obviously very popular with men. Squats or backs, you know, the barbell back squats are very popular with men. But let's talk about the why unilateral, incorporating unilateral movements into your workouts is so important. So why is that so important to have some unilateral movement into your workouts? You may have touched on this before, but I want to go a little more detail on that.
Yeah, that's good. I guess the question is, why is it your training? Mm-hmm. Are you training because you just like going to the gym and that is your form of activity? And if that is what it is, then that's great. But if you're training to improve your ability to exist on this planet, to go and enjoy other activities, I can only think of one sport or activity where you're really bilateral, where the arms are moving in the same direction at the same time. That'd be rowing. Yeah. Like if you are a competitive rower, then the legs are going to push back and forth, and the leg press would be a remarkable thing for you.
Right.
And so would be the T-bar row or pull downs with both arms, or pull ups for that matter. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be very specific to rowing. But if you're a tennis player, a golfer, a grandparent, you're going to need to be able to move your body the way it was designed, which is, we are called contralateral bipeds, meaning we're on 2 feet, bipeds, and one side moves in the opposite direction compared to the other, contralateral. So being contralateral bipeds means that we need to allow our arms to move in opposite and alternating fashions.
Right.
And we need to create programs to help condition this, to allow the freedom of movement, but the strength and stability and balance and coordination to achieve these things. So a golfer will need to rotate back and to the left and across and over to the right. Mm-hmm. Do they have the ability to truly rotate, or are they selecting movements in the gym that are trying to a gag order on rotation over and over to maintain this high level of stiffness? Mm-hmm. If you look at any golfer on the PGA tour, they're not going to look stiff to you.
Right.
Yeah. If they do, they're not going to have a good game. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So the importance of unilateral, one-sided, unicycle, unilateral, one-sided movements, or contralateral or opposing actions, it reinforces the way in which humans move. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, early in the growth and development of health clubs and gyms, we borrowed from bodybuilding, powerlifting, and Olympic lifting,
which
doesn't have that as their primary goal in terms of powerful human movement.
Right.
It's all about how big can I get my muscles, how gorgeous can I look in a bikini, and how much can I lift, not how is my back going to survive 70 or 80 years of movement.
Right.
So it all depends upon what your goal is. If your goal is to simply get big and walk along Venice Beach, then a bodybuilding routine is probably for you. But if you're looking to improve sports performance or be able to get down and play with the grandkids on the ground without making noises, then a different program might be considered.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. It comes down to your goals. It sounds like the vast majority of people on this planet would benefit from that approach of doing multiple different things, multiple different movements. Obviously, there's bodybuilders out there. I've done bodybuilding competitions, but most people would benefit from doing a combination of different exercises to have that well-rounded kind of workout program approach, right?
Yeah, imagine how nice it would be to speak 4 or 5 different languages.
Oh, yeah, right. Phenomenal.
I mean, that I think everybody would probably really enjoy having the ability to do something different like that, mm-hmm. or anything like that, to learn a new skill. Like if you're a juggler, you know, if you wanted to juggle, learn how to juggle.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we have to become circus acts or anything like that, but challenging yourself outside of your comfort zone is where true change is going to occur.
Right.
If we continually do the same routine over and over, we're going to build up a pattern of movement, and that is going to be hard to change, mm-hmm. In terms of like just hard to see changes. We'll be getting plateaus. And if we wanted to break away from the plateau, we've got to change something up, whether it's exercise selection, volume of work, tempo of movement. There's many ways in which we can change things, but selecting different movements. Consider this though, Paul, we have got 206 bones in the body, mm-hmm. and where the bones come together, those spaces are called joints. And when we add them all up, we've got 360 joints, and they move in 3 dimensions of space. So if we add that up, 360 times 3, that's 1,080 different types of movements that our joints could potentially make. And so if you're only sticking to 8 to 10 lifts in your workout, and you've been doing that for quite a while, you're really missing out on a whole bunch.
Right.
And you don't even know it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a big thing. You may not even know it. Right. So if someone doesn't know it, how would they know it then? What would they look for?
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, we're sitting in these rooms right now, and there's nothing around us that's moving.
Right.
But if a little parakeet somehow got into your room right now and flitted across the room, your attention would be immediately drawn to that movement.
Right, right.
The same holds true in our bodies. Areas that move bring neurological attention, stimulation. Our brain is connected to those areas. Mm-hmm. When we have areas that don't move very well, where we're restricted, we're not going to get the same stimulation. Mm. So we lose a certain connection. There becomes a blurring of our neural map,
right,
that tells us where we are in space. So it's kind of a catch-22. The less you move, the less you feel. So really, honestly, there's so many ways in which they could do that, and not just in a lifting setting. They could take a dance class. Right. They could do a little yoga. They could do martial arts. They could do Zumba. It doesn't really matter. But find places where you can move in 3-dimensional space and add that to your conditioning. Go out and play basketball, you know, or you could start to do a mobility or flexibility class, right, if it's offered in your facility, right, and start to unlock these areas that you didn't even know you were locked in. I don't know if you're one for foam rolling, but that's a great example there too. Yep. So many people get on the foam rollers and they had no idea that they were tender or locked up. They had so many knots, so to speak, in their body.
Right.
So that's another way of just stimulating, really, just through tactile sensations, through touching. We can do that.
No, you're preaching to the choir. I've done bodybuilding competitions, but 2 years ago I started taking salsa classes, and I was like, man, why do these weird little leg muscles hurt so bad? I've never used them. It was completely different movement, but it was great. That was, again, opportunity to just move my body differently. And I was utilizing muscles I never knew I even had. It was a very weird, but good experience for me as a trainer. So I definitely get where you're coming from, what you do.
Well, then I'm curious, after doing that salsa, how was your performance in the gym? Did you notice increases in your lifts or how your body felt? How was your back, your
back feel? Yeah, my body felt really, really good, because I still go to salsa classes, but it was just like a real, my body, I think, appreciated just moving differently, because a lot of the exercise that I was doing was very, like leg presses or just barbell back squats, especially for lower body exercises. So but then I started incorporating multiple different exercises because I wanted to improve a salsa as well, and stretching and foam rolling and all these different things. So I definitely feel like my performance increased largely because of that, and also developed that mind muscle connection too, with some muscles that I never even knew I had, which was great.
Fantastic. Yeah. We just got to break the patterns. Yeah. You know, as simple as just trying to brush your teeth with the opposite hand, that's a challenge in itself. Just a simple example. But if you're in the gym for the listening audience and you've been doing barbell movements, shift to dumbbells. Right. If you've been doing dumbbells, shift to cables, right, or resistance bands, or sandbags or kettlebells. There's so many tools at your disposal that you could do the same movement just with a different tool and have a tremendous outcome for your benefit.
Right. Yeah, because all the pillars that you describe, they're just, you could do many variations on the same type of movement. And sometimes you may get a little creative, or you can, you know, phone a friend, but really the pillar doesn't change. It's just how you apply that pillar. There's so many different ways to do that, right?
Correct. Whether it's changing the tempo, the speed with which you're moving.
We can talk about tempo or speed, right? You know, yeah,
tempo changes. Combining movements together to superset or giant sets or circuit style. Mm-hmm. I mean, how you combine them together, affecting your rest period, either giving less rest or more work or any variation therein, changing the direction that you're moving, whether it is, again, we come back to bench press as a prime example. Could we just change the grip position? Can you do an underhand grip or a mixed grip with one over, one under? Is it narrow? Is it wide? Is it shoulder width? Just changing these little aspects in terms of the movements you're already proficient in is going to give you a new challenge that your brain and body are going to have to adapt.
Yeah, I think it's that adaptability that leads to progress and performance increase. But before we wrap things up, let's say someone comes to you and says, Rocky, all that sounds really great, but I'm still, you know, still feel real, a little overwhelmed with trying to incorporate all these different pillars. Where does someone start?
Well, honestly, I would hire somebody like yourself, Paul. I would find a professional certified trainer who has some experience and is someone that you can find a commonality with, that you have a good rapport with, and who you place trust and within. And honestly, hire a professional, because if you're feeling like you don't have enough information, I definitely would not go onto YouTube. Yeah. I would not Google a workout, because those are designed for somebody other than yourself. But I would seek out professional advice, professional help, whether it's just through one session, they design the program and you go on your own, or you do it on a regular basis. But I truly see there's a benefit of having a coach, a trainer, a guide, a mentor, however you want to place the term upon that professional's head. But it's good to don't do it by yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's like the easiest way, if you feel overwhelmed, to not feel overwhelmed, to hire an expert. If I try to do salsa dancing on my own through YouTube videos, it would be a disaster. I'd probably fall over and hit my head. But when I had an instructor, it was easy. So I clearly agree. And I do want to give you an opportunity to kind of plug your social media. Where can people find you if they have any questions?
I'm pretty much all over the place with my name, Rocky Snyder, Snyder. You can find me on Instagram with that name, Facebook, LinkedIn, as well as I do have a YouTube channel with a tremendous amount of videos on there, almost 700 now. So, and not to say that you should just simply go there and create your own routine, but that's one way. And then I've got a website, rockysnyder.com. And for the trainers that are listening out there, you could check out the Perform Better Training Summits. I'm one of the presenters there, as well as the NSCA's National Conference coming up next month in Vegas. You can catch me there as well.
Yeah, nice. Now I'm trying to do my CEUs for my CSCS certification. So what are you speaking on at the conference?
I'll be speaking on the implementation of small foam wedges under the foot for creating a more efficient chain reaction through the body when doing movements and lifts and so on, and also for a rehabilitative setting. And then looking at what every joint in the body should do when you land on the ground, because there's a certain ideal pattern. And once we know what that is, then we can use that as an assessment tool to help people improve their ability to move, to take away compensations, and so on.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. I'll definitely keep an eye out for the video that I'm sure they'll post on the website. That's, yes, amazing job on doing the speaking engagements. I know those aren't easy. I'm sure you put a lot of time preparing for those. So hats off to you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love sharing what it is I've accumulated over the years. I don't want to hold on to it.
Yeah. Well, Rocky, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I think you dropped a lot of really good nuggets, and I'm hoping people will check you out because you have a lot of knowledge, obviously, and I think you have a lot to share.
Well, Paul, this has been a treat. I really love it. I love your questions. I hope I gave some good insight to your listening audience, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on and share.
Absolutely. All right, so that wraps up today's episode, and thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check Rocky out on the social media in the podcast notes. And if you're a fan of the show, please do me a huge favor and leave a review if you enjoy listening. And until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.